Blog Talk Radio.
If to you
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, spiritual relationship healing expert and licensed mental health counselor, helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com, and Healing Through Love seminar leader. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Denise Bonnet-Jones, an educational consultant who specializes in academic, career, and psychosocial advisement and guidance programs. She has worked at all different levels in the educational system, middle, high school, and adult education, and was head counselor at an adult education center. With her Tell It How It Is structured but nurturing style and such tools as the Dr. Jones, There Is No Such Thing as No Homework study regimens, 5-year student plan, energy balance circle of life, and personal awareness elevation book list, Dr. Jones molds, guides, and mentors her students toward multiple successes during high school, college, graduate school, the armed forces, and beyond. Her credentials are wonderful. With an MBA from Nova Southeastern University and a PhD in educational leadership and management, among various other degrees, Dr. Jones is in a unique position to speak about her culture in comparison to other cultures. Her dissertation addressed factors that affect the subject selection of students of African descent. So I want to welcome Dr. Denise Bonnet-Jones. Welcome.
Hello, listeners. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'd like to just jump right in and ask you to share about your background and training and experience. Like, what led to your being interested in this topic that we're going to talk about today, comparing two different cultures?
Well, that's a great question. Initially, I came out of school with a business economics degree, and I was in business with Walmart as a manager and another company. And then I came back home, and I started substituting just to pay some bills, and I fell in love with the children, they fell in love with me, and I felt God was redirecting my life. Thus, I earned a master's in guidance counseling and started working with children, dealing with their individual, family, scholastic needs and issues and concerns. And this has been my life work for the last 14 years.
And where were you brought up personally?
Initially born in New York. I say I'm African Caribbean American, born in New York. My parents are from a small island, Carriacou, one of the Grenadian islands. And then I spent a lot of time in Miami. I went away for 7 years for college and work, and I've been back to Miami for over 15. So most of my years have been spent in the Miami metropolitan area.
So what's interesting about our discussion today is that you and I come from completely different backgrounds. Being Jewish,
yes,
I come from a Jewish family, and in fact my father was born in Jerusalem, Israel, before it was Israel. So I have a perspective, and you have a really different perspective about Jewish culture and comparing it to the African-American culture or just the African culture. So why don't you begin by talking about what led to your coming to certain conclusions about the cultures and what effect they have?
Well, my first introduction and association with many Jews was me going to church on Saturday mornings because I grew up Sunday Adventist. So Friday sunset, the Saturday sunset, we observed the Sabbath. So in New York, we were going to church and Jews were going to temple. And in 1998, when Dr. Michael Kropp Senior High School in Aventura, Florida opened up, I was the first black counselor there. I was there from 1998 to 2006. So those 8 years of being introduced to a different culture really changed my whole perspective in life.
And how is that so interesting that it could happen like that? So why don't you explain a little more, like what changed?
My interaction with the Jewish faith, understanding, first of all, as an African-Caribbean American, hearing someone with authority say no, that means stop. But with the what I experienced with the Jewish culture is that no does not exist. That word does not exist. If you say no, it's like their members are trained to flip it and say, it's on. How dare you tell me no? How dare you stop me from what I want to do and my progression? So no means to them that I'm going to prove something to you, which actually is tied to one of the seven keys of the Jewish faith. I call it, which is a great book, The Jewish Phenomenon, Seven Keys to the Enduring Wealth of a People by Stephen Schlobiger.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because in my family, we did not learn that you can't say no. No was no. So maybe
it must
some
be
of these. Right. Well, I'm just saying that that it may be something in the culture, but not everyone in the culture was brought up that way. So that's an important thing to understand. It's like generalities with any culture. There are some
definitely
broad generalities.
Definitely.
Right,
when
so,
I say, like, I'm going to use black culture, African diaspora, African-American interchangeably. And, of course, it goes to say that it's general. It's not every citizen within the culture.
Absolutely not, because some of them from an early age were taught to be successful, and they make it very big in the world. So why don't we start with these seven keys? The first one that you said is that understand that real wealth is portable, that it's knowledge. And before you say anything about it, I wanted to say something in my upbringing that this may have been true in general, but men were given more ability. They were given priority over women. Like if there was not enough money in the family, the son would go to college. That's a few generations back. That kind of thing has changed.
Yes, I'm working with a different population, maybe a younger population and their parents. So I would say parents that are 50 and under, and I worked with students now who are 30 and under, and that was my experience. But knowledge is not only higher education. Knowledge is broad education. When my students told me, Dr. Jones, that's nice, you received your PhD at 31. But until you own your financial freedom, you're still a slave. Another thing they told me is that no does not exist. And another thing that's very, very instrumental in my life is that we are, just like the Bible states, Jews are the people of the book. They said, Dr. Jones, you just read for scholastic reasons throughout my pursuit of degrees. They said, oh, that's just really limited thinking. We are taught to read about diverse subjects, diverse industries, to know a little bit about a little of everything, because just having a concerted effort in one area just keeps you very, very limited in life. So through that expression of liberation of knowledge, I started reading about a host of different arenas and areas and subjects, because it was just a different understanding. A lot of, as blacks, our parents tell us most times to do a lot of times what they haven't done. Read, make sure you're reading, make sure whatever, but we don't see, if you ask our parents, how many books you read in a half of a year or in an annual time span, besides the Bible, they can't tell you how many books they've read. So the seven keys that I saw a lot of evidence while I worked in Aventura for 8 years, and they are documented in the Jewish Phenomenon, which I read many years after, they are, one, understand that real wealth is portable. It's knowledge. And knowledge means education, and broad knowledge in various arenas means everything in this culture. Next one, take care of your own, and they will take care of you. There's a collective feeling that Judaism and the culture of Judaism is very important. Understand it, know it, support it as a collective group. We were taught...
And I want to add something there, that may be true as a collective, but there are also...
Right.
Parents who are narcissistic and parents who are unloving or self-centered and did not think of just taking care of their own. And there are also many other cultures where they take care of their own, such as the Asian cultures where the whole family works together, and many of the Spanish cultures where grandparents are taking care of the grandchildren so that
the children can go to work. That's not the angle I'm taking at all. Taking care of others is like, no, that's not the angle. That's family. Family does that. What they're stressing here is that you say one thing in this country, you say one thing about the Jews, as a collective group, they come together and make sure that this will not be tolerated. As blacks, a lot of times, because of the diaspora, because of the history of slavery, we have so much separation. Oh, the Haitians say, I'm French. The black Spanish Cubans say, I'm Spanish. My cousins in England says, I'm English. No, you're not. You're African, enslaved, and given names and given languages that are not yours. And now you claim those things, but you have no knowledge of your original self.
Wow, that is really an interesting phenomenon. I didn't understand what your perspective was before.
No, I'm not talking about family. I'm not talking about family taking care of each other. I'm talking about a group looking after each other. As blacks, my cousins half white, half black, we have this joke that we say, let us tell each other, we won't listen. Let the white man tell us. It's like, oh, I was telling her before she went away to school, she had a 5.36 GPA leaving high school, 3.9 Harvard of the South in finance at Emory, and she just finished Duke University MBA. And I tried to tell her, she's half white, half black, she looks more white, but I said, honey, in America, you're seen as black. She did not want to listen because when we tell each other, we don't want to listen. Jews listen to one another about what is their view of, what is the view of the world that the world holds about each other. Blacks always want to deny it because we want to be someone else. And that's the Willie Lynch syndrome. You know, pit the light skin against the dark skin. We see it happening today. Pit the north against the south. Pit the house nigga against the which is usually the slave master's child, the light-skinned one, against the field nigger. And we are continuously doing the same thing. So I told her this. She said, I said, why don't you go to a historically black school to learn more about, no, I don't think that their level of education will be the same and they can teach me the same. So when she went to Emory, they wrote on her door, nigger, get out. When she came back home, she was saying, oh, my God, I can't believe they treat us like that. I'm like, oh, my God, you're one of us now? So we don't believe, because we do everything to separate ourselves from African culture since throughout slavery and the residual effects of it. It's anything that's seen as African is seen as dark, mysterious, exotic, backwards. So we perpetuate. We don't forget the white man. They've done their job, and they've done it well. We self-perpetuate this hatred now. So when it comes
to
going back...
Something. Dr. Jones, I see a huge task for you to be, and you are already doing it, teaching something different.
That?
To instill in them what you're talking about, that they can do it and that it can come together.
Right, because we call it crabs in a barrel. And that's in the black culture, we all know. It's like we all say, which is terrible, that this is what was taught on the plantation and we perpetuate it. As soon as somebody's trying to get up, it's like clawing them down. What we see with the Cubans and with the Jews, they collectively, they put aside their differences because every group, every individual inside of us, we have individual fights within ourselves. We can't keep our New Year's resolution. But this goes beyond.
That's true.
Right. You know, by the first month, most of us have, we're upset when other people don't keep their promises, but we don't keep our promises to ourselves. No, this is going deeper. Take care of your own, and they will take care of you. Jews are very, very into putting money into their programs, sending money back to Israel. Blacks were not into that. It was the Jewish kids who got me to go to Africa. They said, I don't understand you, you Africans, especially diaspora. Y'all want to go to Europe. You want to go to here. You want to go there as soon as you get the money. Go home. That's the first thing most Jews want to do is go home and experience where they came from. And to
That's
get
beautiful.
Blacks to do that. Yes, it's beautiful. What I saw.
All right, so let's go on with. I'm finding this very
one?
Interesting. Yeah, the third one. So that we have enough time to cover all of them.
Excellent. Successful people are professionals and entrepreneurs. We were not taught this. We were taught, go to school. Okay, where's
the And I wanted to add something that I was taught. Women could really only be teachers. They were not supposed to be secretaries or nurses. I'm talking about Jewish women. So there was very little choice. There were a few women... very, very few who became a doctor or a lawyer. That has changed, of course, in the next few generations.
When the younger generation, you have no boundaries. And black, white, it doesn't matter, Jewish, well, I don't know about Jews, but black, white, and most other, there's more women graduating high school, law school, med school, graduate school in America than men. That's just the newest trend in the last 15 years. But what I'm saying, successful people are professionals and entrepreneurs. And this book says we as Jews do not aim for junior college. As blacks, if we finish high school, and our parents are like, see, I have to untrain parents' minds and students. They think that C is a good grade. C is average. C will land you in junior college where I started. But my parents' goal was just, graduate, no direction, no summer programs invested, no understanding of test scores and placement and matriculation and majors and earning potential and none of that. And I am 42, and the same, there's no difference as I work with the children and parents today, even the educated black parents.
But it takes somebody to educate them, and you're doing that. And not in a
Thank
small
you.
Way. So let's
right.
go on
and
so that
what,
we could keep talking.
At,
this is fascinating. But let's go on to the fourth one.
When I look at the Jewish phenomenon, the book itself, it has pages and pages of statistics of what level of professionals, doctors, specialists, engineers, accountants, that Jews go and specialize in. And we're in the problem with us. Is that our earning potential. We go into psychology, sociology, education, criminal justice. That's a different level of earning potential and political stance and political power when you're going into the social sciences versus the hard sciences. The fourth one is develop your verbal confidence. This is a major, major issue with us. We are taught, the black child, we're taught to know your place. What I saw, total contrast in Aventura, we have no place to be, but wherever we want to be. There are no boundaries. Interject creativity.
Well, I have to say, to add to this one, I was brought up with the instructions, girls and children should be seen and not heard. So that's another issue that has changed.
Right. I will talk to parents of your same age, and they will have, like you said, it varies. They would have a different perspective on it. But I know this generation, 40 and under, it's develop your verbal confidence. We tried to get black and Hispanic students to take, at Michael Kroc, speech and debate. We'll not take it because our culture lets them go. I speak to you once, If I have to speak to you again, you're going to get it. What these kids were encouraged to take speech and debate, learn how to identify position, learn how to research it, learn how to verbally defend it. That goes right. And I knew nothing of this. This book came way after my 8 years experience at Microcroft. Number four, develop your verbal confidence. Everyone, and I was doing a survey the last week, I asked blacks and Spanish, when you're in trouble, what lawyer do you look for? Every last one said a Jewish lawyer. Verbal confidence.
Very interesting. Okay, next item.
Be selectively extravagant, but prudently frugal. Where money is spent, on tutoring. We will spend money on nails and hair and nice clothes. Like I told my parents, I dressed in Macy's and Bloomingdale's, but I starved throughout college. What sense was that? So because we were a suppressed people for so long, we feel by beautifying the outside makes our kids feel good, when actually getting the tutoring to fill the gaps of misunderstanding and elevating their understanding so they could be competitive academically will really elevate our self-esteem. Our parents don't get that at all.
Incredible.
So I'm always preaching. Most of my parents, like this Jewish parent, I said, oh, my God, when a child transferred to our school, I said, she's so bright. She said, close your mouth. You obviously don't know that you're in the Jewish ghetto. This is Aventura, just like Manhattan or any place else. We pay for what we want. If I want my child gifted, I get them. I don't wait for the school system like y'all do. I go and pay for a psychologist to get them tested. It will go faster. They will do it in a timely manner. My child, whether they're gifted or not, will most likely be placed in gifted in elementary. So they're socialized around gifted kids. By the time they're in middle school, high school, they're already acting and producing like gifted kids. No
Absolutely.
One knows.
Okay. We have to move forward because the time can
Number
run
six.
Out. So, yes.
Number six says take pride in individuality. Encourage creativity. Individuality is, if we're seen in the black culture, if you generalizing, or of course, if you, it's not, it's about the group. It's about the group. Someone comes and acts up on the bus, or we look at the news every night, every black, I don't care what, this is not a something individual. This is collective. Every black, if something, a crime is happening on TV, we're begging before they announce it that it's not another black person. If someone acts up on the bus and we're hoping it's not us. If somebody does, if it is us, we feel it because we're a collective group. Individuality is not stress. Creativity, out of the box thinking, is not stress. Our parents say it, they do not mirror it, they do not emulate it, and it's really not rewarded.
I have to
so
add something, though. My father used to read the newspaper, and any time there was someone Jewish that committed some kind of crime, he was so upset because he used to say that we had to make a better impression because we were a minority in this country. That
and
has also been changing. Right.
Right.
So that's,
we feel the same way. But what Jews have done collectively is try to do more in the public eye that makes them be viewed in a positive manner. What we have seen a lot of times is the negative. So we're on the other side. That may be your minority. That's the majority. So we feel it like a collective group, and we need to definitely adopt that Jewish way where we're pushing more for positivity as a group. Number seven, be psychologically driven to prove something. Our parents, number one thing, what are you trying to prove? You think you're big? You think you're bad? I'm going to show you. So we're like dwarfed. We're like marginalized. So even though somebody like me who has 4 degrees and my cousin and others, you know, we still feel so marginalized because we were not encouraged to be creative, to think out of the box, to have a verbal confidence, to always be driven and do something. For us, if you get finished high school, most of the parents I talk to, he finished high school, you would think that's finishing a PhD. Forget it, finishing college is like never go back to school again.
Well,
one
thing more common in the black culture is for them to be some star athletes, whereas Jews have been very intellectual but not necessarily the top athletes.
And let me tell you about that, because he speaks about that in the book. My parents have told me that too. He speaks about that. He says, we will push our kids into sports. We don't care if they're the best sportsmen. What we want them to learn is how to be a leader sometimes, how to concede and be a follower sometimes, how to work within groups, how to work with humanity. And in sports, there are certain rules that allows them. So they want them to take away those skills instead of you've got to be that, you've got to earn that contract because you've got to carry the whole family. So it's not that pressure. I speak to my black kids where they feel like, my boys sometimes, where they feel like they have to make it. If they don't make it, then they can't bring up three generations. They shouldn't have that pressure. They should be scholar athletes, not all about kicking a ball. I told them my ancestors didn't die for us to be kicking or throwing a ball. We're much more than that. And
also what happens is sometimes they're a star athlete for a while, and afterwards they don't have anything because they didn't have the education, the good education.
Exactly. And what my, especially my Israeli parents and some of my other parents too, they said, we teach in this book too, we teach our kids, if we give them $30, and my parents never taught me that, but my parents could say their parents never taught them this, but we came out of slavery, we're generations behind, but we have to start reading and applying a different way. But they say, I give you $30 every 2 weeks for allowance. $10, you can spend it any way you want. Other $10, we're going to walk and go to the bank and show you how to save. The other $10, you prefer Target versus Walmart, Apple versus Microsoft, Adidas versus Nike. It takes like a minimum to invest in that stock. So I want you to chart that stock for as long as you need to accumulate that 10% and get that base amount, the minimum amount you could invest. Then I'm going to show you how to invest. Most of us never. Investing was never talked about in our family. We live paycheck to paycheck, and like me and most of us, we learn from our parents to live above our means.
Wow. Well, women were not taught about investing, that's for sure, in the last few generations. Now it's becoming more common. In any culture, they really weren't taught that.
That's true, but a lot of times in other cultures, if you weren't taught that, your father at least had something saved for you, or had something at least college paid for, or something. So even though you were not taught that, something was set aside for you in a will.
Absolutely.
Or a something.
Yes.
Nothing of that is being done for us. So even though you don't have the knowledge, you are benefiting from their action. We don't have the knowledge, and there's no benefit to gain.
So what can be done about this? What do you think can be done situation?
Well, that is 1-7, the 7 keys to Jewish success. I added the constant ingraining and interweaving of Jewish history into the individual, the community, and the world at large. Jews, in any society that they settle, they let the society know who they are, their rich culture, their rich abilities, and they spread it throughout the culture. And the Steven Spielberger, I even went further, and with the Jewish star, around the star, I put all the areas or arenas that Jews are conquering. And I showed this to families, and I said, were we ever taught, Jews are taught, you are supposed to fulfill or fill some need of society. Who, jeans, Levi's, and Strauss. There was only silk. There was only rayon. There was only silk, rayon, and cotton. They needed a stronger material for the field and for the industry. There came Levi's and Strauss. The circus, the concept of the mall, Disney. I mean, just all, you look at all of the credits in Hollywood. It gets taught. I see where these adults end up because I saw the budding of these children. I saw the fertilizing of these children. It changed my life. Their vocabularies at 15 was much more broad than me with a PhD. There was kids 15 years old buying and selling parts over the internet, car parts and motorcycle parts, making $70,000 a year at 15 years old in high school. And they're like, Dr. Jones, I don't understand.
I want to ask you, because we are going to run out of time, what do you believe can be done about it?
Oh,
for
my
your
goodness.
Culture?
Since I had that experience at Michael Croft, since I read this book and also met the author, every school I go to, the Spanish and Black schools, I interject this to every parent that comes in front of me. Every parent, I beg them to take off the table. Take off. I don't have them. Buy this.
All right, Dr. Jones, just give an email or some way that people can reach you because the show is going to end quickly.
Okay. My email is BJ for Boy Jones or Bonnet Jones, PhD at hotmail.com. BJ, PhD at hotmail.com.
Dr. Jones, this has been fantastic. You've really opened my eyes because I had read some of those concepts, but until you explained what you meant by it, I didn't quite understand it. So you have something huge to offer, not only to Black people, to children and to adults in this country and other countries. So you have a huge job ahead of you, and I believe you're going to fulfill it.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for your kind words, and I would love to be a guest another time.
That would be delightful. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Bye for now.